From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita ensures imported rice will not harm the farmer. He foresee run 2018, the Fun Run event to support gender equality. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggartia Stolokita said that the imported rice is a buffer stock or extra stock to reduce the risk of shortages. On Tuesday, February 27, in his working visit to Indramayu Regency in West Java, Minister Enggartia Stolokita confirmed that the imported rice would not enter the market. He also ensured that the farmers do not have to worry on the harvest. The harvest will not be merged since there is available the imported rice. The National Logistics Agency Bulog has committed to buying the harvest products, both rice and grain, in accordance with the existing provision. He assured with the policy of rice import, farmers will not be harmed and the harvest is definitely absorbed by the National Logistics Agency, Bulog.
Jadi, sekali lagi kita memastikan apa yang sudah disampaikan bahwa...
So once again, we make sure that we use imported rice for our food stock. And don't worry because we will hold market operations as it has been conducted before. We have set the highest retail price to all rice traders in traditional market. Minister Enggartia Stolokita further explained that in an effort to ensure the government's policy to not distribute the imported rice to the rice producing area, he visited Indramayu and Cirebon Regency in West Java. During the visit, Minister Enggartia Stolokita took a look at the several National Logistics Agency Bulog warehouses, namely Bulog Warehouse of Jakarta and Banten, Tegal Girang Warehouse, and Singakerta Warehouse of Indramayu Regional Division. In Singakerta Warehouse, the remaining rice stock of 93 tons from the total capacity of 21,500 tons. The minister also visited some other traditional markets to check the price of basic needs. In commemoration to welcome International Women's Day, Indonesia Business Coalition for Women Empowerment, or IBWCE, held Fun Run event on Saturday, March the 4th, entitled He for She Run. This sports event is also supported by the United Nations UN Women. In addition to welcoming the International Women's Day, this Fun Run is held to support gender equality, where women have the same position as men. Indonesia Business Coalition for Women Empowerment, IBCWE President Sinta Wijaya, in a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, February 27, said that community participation is important to support gender equality echoed by the UN Women through the He for She campaign. In principle, this is a fun run, a campaign to get together. Those who cannot run for 5K or 10K, don't worry, you don't have to run, you can just walk. For the participation of parties is important. There are 5,000 participants who have been registered. Therefore, we can do the campaign together and raise the issue of he for she. Sinta Wijaya moreover said that gender equality will be achieved if women and men have the willingness and cooperation to realize the equality of the He for She campaign initiated by UN Women. He for She is a solidarity movement that invites men and boys as equal partners. They also become an agent of change to accelerate the achievement of gender equality. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited 11 economists to the Presidential Palace in Jakarta to discuss the country's pressing issues regarding food supply. Bayu Krishnamurti, Bogor Agricultural University IPB economist, after the meeting had ended on Tuesday, February 27, said that the 11 economists are mainly from the field of agriculture and fisheries. The economists were invited by the president to discuss the two elements related to each other. Bayu explained that based on the analysis of poverty announced by the government in January showed that the stability of food prices largely contributes to the reduction of poverty in Indonesia. The meeting also discussed many other issues such as data problems, changing the development of consumption, and the attempts to improve farmers' income. He focused on the fact that farmers' groups will be reduced to poverty if they have other alternative activities outside of their main farming activities. The main point is that farmers can obtain an added value from processing activities such as rice milling up to sales and marketing. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said it is already time now for Indonesia to help other countries with economic condition below the country's level. He said at Delta Silicon Industrial Zone in Cikarang, West Java, on Tuesday, February 27, that Indonesia must not again ask for aid from other countries. He said Indonesia has been included in the two groups of big economies, which are G20 and Trillion Dollar Club, and an official designation of countries with gross domestic products surpassing $1 trillion. For the past 7 years, the number of the club has only reached 15. Indonesia entered the club in 2017. The president noted Indonesia had entered the most special group, which is the Trillion Dollar Club for member countries with economies worth $1 trillion a year. President Joko Widodo called on the people to be grateful over the country's growth, which will continue to be boosted to further increase the country's economy scale. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Christine Lagarde, highlighted the importance of preparations in the face of a digital revolution that slowly begins to change the regional and global economic structures. Lagarde said during a speech at high-level international conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, February 27, that people have to start controlling the digital revolution in the best possible ways by improving the quality of digital infrastructure and creating an appropriate education system for the future. In a conference entitled New Growth Models in a Changing Global Landscape, she stated the management of transition and the current changes is very important as it relates to job creation. The models of future economic growth will depend on various innovations in the technology sector, such as artificial intelligence, the use of robot power, and the utilization of biotechnology and financial technology. She said that people must ensure that this new economy not only promotes productivity and growth, but also serves as a useful foundation for young and old, rich and poor, urban and rural people. National Development Planning Board BAPENAS would prioritize improvement of literacy of or writing and reading skills level in the Government Work Plan RKP 2019. The decision is a continuation of the board's transformation of library services based on social inclusion. Secretary of BAPENAS or the National Development Planning Board, Gelwin Yusuf, on Tuesday, February 27 in Jakarta said that the Government Work Plan RKP 2019 makes literacy for welfare as one of the priority activities to support human development. Gelwin said that the social inclusion approach is intended to broaden community participation and increase community involvement in library service activities. In addition, BAPENAS or the National Development Planning Board will also encourage the role of libraries as literacy movement institutions to take on the role of implementing Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. Gelwin said, after the transformation of library services based on social inclusion, then it needs to be encouraged library managers to push the targets of SDGs. And the last item, the Association of Courier Post and Logistic Companies, or Asperindo, predicted that logistic business would grow 15% this year, or the same as last year. The association chairman, Muhammad Feriadi, said after attending the launch of Friendly Logistics in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the business grew around 15% last year, and this year he expects it would not be different. Muhammad Feriadi, who is also the president director of GNE Express, said there are a number of factors that the business growth this year could not grow stronger than last year. He said among the factors is the government regulations with limited infrastructure. It is impossible for the business operators to build own infrastructure. Logistic companies could not be expected to build toll roads. He referred to the government regulation alternating cars between ones with even and uneven number if license plate police allowed to use Jakarta Cikampek toll road. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggartias Tolukita ensures imported rice will not harm the farmer. He for She Run 2018, the fun run event to support gender equality. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with today's commentary entitled Armistice Has Not Resolved the Conflict in Syria. Listener, the ceasefire in Syria remains a question mark. The armistice declared by the United Nations Security Council 2 days ago requires a strong commitment of the disputants to carry it out. From the area of Ghouta, which is the battleground of the two disputing parties, there were news of some ceasefire violations. Information from humanitarian activists said there had been an air raid allegedly committed by the Syrian government. The reported airstrike took place 30 minutes after the start of the ceasefire, allegedly killing two civilians. Before the ceasefire was declared by the UN Security Council, Syrian fighter planes had bombarded Ghouta area, which was the defense base of the rebels. The UN Security Council, therefore, unanimously approved a resolution calling for a 30-day ceasefire in Syria. This is to provide opportunities for the delivery of humanitarian aid and the evacuation of civilians. Some circles have doubted the implementation of the resolution set by all members of the Security Council because they do not feel included in the talks. It turned out less than half an hour after the ceasefire was set, airstrikes once again took place. Therefore, it still cannot be predicted when the war in Syria will end. The various interests and powers of outsiders tangled with domestic feuds have made the Syrian war so complicated and difficult to resolve. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in History. Presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on February 28, 1922. Egypt gained its independence from England. Egypt, the country that has an ancient civilization of more than 8,000 years. 20 years after the birth of Islam, the religion of Prophet Muhammad was developed in Egypt, even it has become the center of science of the Muslims. In 1798, Napoleon's army landed in Alexandria. Since then, there began an occupation of France to Egypt. In 1801, the British and Turkish combined forces expelled France, then England began to occupy Egypt.
On February 28, 1922, Egypt gained its independence but remained under the British protectorate. In 1952, Muhammad Najib, Gamal Abdel Nasser, and several other Egyptian officers led a coup against King Farouk, and in 1953, the Egyptian government system was transformed from the kingdom into the republic. Next event, which occurred on February 28, 1972, Shanghai Communique. China's government and the United States issued the Shanghai Communique when the U.S. President Richard Nixon to China on February 28, 1972. The communique has opened the relationship between China and the U.S. and opened a new page of the two countries' relations. The communique is an important political document for the two countries' relationship that has built basic principles such as One China principle, mutual respect, equality and mutual benefit, peaceful life, and not interfering domestic affairs of the respective countries. These principles were further confirmed in the opening of the Chinese-American diplomatic relations and the August 17th communique. It has brought the political foundation for the relationship between China and the United States. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of the assassination of Olof Palme on February 28, 1986. Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme was shot dead by an unknown assailant while walking home from the cinema with his wife, Lisbeth, near midnight on February 28, 1986, in Stockholm, the Swedish capital. Olof Palme and his wife were closely ranged shot, but his wife only slightly injured and survived. Olof Palme was declared dead on arrival at the hospital. He served as Prime Minister of Sweden, representing the Social Democratic Party. During his lifetime, Palme supported openness and equality among the community. Palme's policy of supporting the working class, the developing countries, and anti-imperialism led him to be accused of being pro-communist group. Despite high-ranking officials, Palme refused to be escorted outside of official events. A Swedish named Christer Pedersen had been arrested and sentenced to life imprisonment. He was accused of being Palme's killer, but was later released for being considered innocent. Pedersen died in September 2004. However, before he died, he had confessed that he had killed the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia with the title Indonesia IMF Discuss the Global Economic Situation. IMF Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Christine Lagarde, visited Indonesia on Monday, February 26. In a written statement in Jakarta on Monday, Christine Lagarde stated that her visit is aimed to discuss the latest world economic development and Indonesian economic projection. In addition, her arrival is also to discuss the annual meeting of International Monetary Fund and World Bank to be held in Nusa Dua, Bali in October. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, after accompanying President Joko Widodo during a meeting with Christine Lagarde on Monday, said that the Indonesian government and Lagarde discussed the various global economic situation from the growth to the digital economy. Christine Lagarde said that the world economic condition this year and next year will be relatively stable with a growth of about 3.9%. This will provide many opportunities for countries to utilize the momentum of the world economy, which currently improved. However, the world economic growth caused by the strengthening of the U.S. economy remains to be watched as inflation will increase, so that it will have implications for the world economy as a whole. Related to the Indonesian economy, Christine Lagarde moreover said that Indonesia's economic growth has the potential to grow larger than 5.3% this year, driven by consumption, export, and investment. The Indonesian government and Christine Lagarde also discussed the trend of the digital economy in the world, because according to Sri Mulyani, digital economy will continue to affect the economy, so that each country must be ready with various risks arising from the digital economy. Minister Sri Mulyani added, the discussion also led to the problem of digital currency, namely how the payment system and how the financial system remains to be maintained in the midst of digital economic development. Currently, Bank Indonesia is reviewing the digital rupiah. President Joko Widodo mentioned to Lagarde about one of Indonesia's policies to prepare the digital economy through vocational education. The policy was highly praised by Christine Lagarde. In his written statement, she said that Indonesia continues to prove its economic resilience. Christine Lagarde asked President Joko Widodo and his ministers to maintain management and to strengthen policy. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that imported rice is a buffer stock or extra stock to reduce the risk of shortages. On Tuesday, February 27, in his working visit to Indramayu Regency in West Java, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita confirmed that the imported rice would not enter the market. In commemoration to welcome International Women's Day, Indonesia Business Coalition for Women Empowerment, IBWCE, held fun run event on Saturday, March 4th, entitled He for She Run. This sports event is also supported by United Nations UN Women. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited 11 economists to the Presidential Palace in Jakarta to discuss the country's pressing issues regarding food supply. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said it is already time now for Indonesia to help other countries with economic condition below the country's level. He said at Delta Silicon Industrial Zone in Cikarang, West Java, that Indonesia must not again ask for from other countries. Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund IMF, Christine Lagarde, highlighted the importance of preparations in the face of a digital revolution that slowly begins to change the regional and global economic structures. National Development Planning Board BAPENAS would prioritize improvement of literacy or writing and reading skills level in the government work plan RKP 2019. And the last item, the Association of Courier Post and Logistic Companies, ASPERINDO, predicted that logistic business would grow 15% this year, or the same as last year. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations in Malang, East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, Malang never ends to offer its natural beauty. Some tourism destinations in Malang are pity to be missed, mainly hidden tourism object. There is hidden tourism object which is worthy to be visited, and it has been talked about recently. The tourism object is called Bedengan Malang, a tourism object which has camping ground concept. Listeners, if you are nature lover, Bedengan Malang is suitable place for you. As camping ground, the place has nuance which is still natural. There are a lot of shady and tall trees. The river which flows at the area is so clear and fresh. According to local people, its water is from Bruis waterfall. The area, which is quite wide, makes tourists be able to set tan freely. Listeners, before to be tourism destination in Malang, Bedengan was an area used as tree plant nursery. Local people call it Bedengan. Thus, this tourism destination is named Bedengan Malang. Those plants are orange trees, so at these tourism destinations, tourists can directly pick up the orange fruits from the trees. There are 12 types of orange fruits which can be chosen. The orange fruits which have been picked up can be enjoyed at the place or also to be taken home. Listeners, although Bedengan Malang tourism destination is still natural, the facilities such as parking area, malls, and restroom have been provided. Although those facilities are still simple, it is enough to help visitors. Bedengan Malang is located at Selokerto Hamlet, Selorejo Village, Dau District, in Malang Regency. If you depart from Malang City, you can reach the distance around 25 kilometers. You have to pass Jalan Joyo Agung until Selokerto. Arriving at Bedengan Malang, you only pay 5,000 rupiah per person. For parking fee, you will be charged 2,500 rupiah for motorcycle and car 5,000 rupiah. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Bedengan in Malang, East Java Province. Thank you for listening.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Letak Hotel, or in English, Hotel Location, stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Letak Hotel, or in English, hotel location. As usual, I say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Tony, a British man, and taxi driver. Let's follow the conversation. Tony, Pak, apakah Hotel Muara jauh dari sini? Apakah Hotel Muara jauh dari sini? In English, excuse me. Is Muara Hotel far from here? Taxi driver, ya lumayan. Ya lumayan, in English, yes, it is quite far. Tony, berapa kilometer? Berapa kilometer? How many kilometers? Taxi driver, sekitar 12 kilometer. Sekitar 12 kilometer. In English, about 12 kilometers. Tony, oh ya, apakah ada pasar tradisional di dekat Hotel Muara? In English, is it right? Is there a traditional market near the hotel? Taxi driver, ada pak. Ada pak. In English, it is sir. Tony, berapa jaraknya antara Hotel Muara dan pasar tradisional? Berapa jaraknya antara Hotel Muara dan pasar tradisional? In English, how many is the distance between Muara Hotel to the traditional market? Taxi driver, mungkin 1 atau 2 kilometer. Mungkin 1 atau 2 kilometer. In English, it's about 1 or 2 kilometer. Tony, oh cukup dekat ya. Terima kasih, Pak. Oh cukup dekat ya. Terima kasih, Pak. In English, oh, it's quite close. Thank you, sir. Taxi driver, ya pak, sama-sama. Ya pak, sama-sama. In English, okay, sir, you're welcome. After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Jauh. Jauh. In English, far. Dekat. Dekat, near. Di dekat Hotel Muara. Di dekat Hotel Muara. Near the Mutiara Hotel. Berapa jarak? Berapa jarak? How long? Pasar tradisional. Pasar tradisional. Traditional market. Berapa kilometer? Berapa kilometer? How many kilometer? Sekitar. Sekitar. About. 12 kilometer. 12 kilometer. 12 kilometer. Lumayan jauh. Lumayan jauh. Quite far. Material. Listener, when you want to know the distance between two places, you can use the word berapa. You can say berapa jarak antara location 1 and location 2. For example, Tony, berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional? Berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional? In English, how many is the distance between Muara Hotel and traditional market? Another example, berapa jarak antara bandar udara dan hotel? berapa jarak antara bandar udara dan hotel? In English, how many is the distance between airport and the hotel? To answer the question, you can use the word the distance, for example. Tony, berapa jarak antara bandar udara dan hotel? Berapa jarak antara bandar udara dan hotel? In English, how many is the distance between airport and the hotel? Driver, 12 km. 12 km. In English, 12 km. Or, sekitar 1 atau 2 km. Sekitar 1 atau 2 km. In English, about 1 or 2 kilometers. And you can give additional words, kira-kira, sekitar, or kurang lebih, if you are not sure about the distance. Well, to know about the distance that should be taken, you can use the word apakah. You can use the term apakah jauh dari location 1 to location 2, or apakah dekat dari location 1 to location 2. For example, Tony, apakah jauh dari sini ke Hotel Muara? Apakah jauh dari Bandar Udara ke Hotel Muara? Apakah dekat dari Bandar Udara ke Hotel Muara? Apakah dekat dari sini ke Pasar Tradisional? Right. To answer the questions, you can answer them in accordance with your estimation, but certainly you cannot answer the question if you do not know the distance. The distance unit that often used in Indonesia are meter and kilometer. In Indonesia, the people rarely use feet or miles. If you want to describe the distance, it's better to use meter or kilometer. Listener, please answer the question by expressing greeting first, name, place of origin, address, and please send your answer to our email address at voi@voinews.id. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We also hold monthly quiz with many interesting prizes. Until next week, with other interesting topics, sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. To initiate today's edition of Music Corner, I will dedicate to you the first song by Rizky Febian entitled Kesempurnaan Cinta. Enjoy the song.
Kau dan aku tercipta oleh mungkin kita ditakdirkan.
That was the song entitled Kesempurnaan Cinta by Rizky Febian. His full name is Rizky Febian Ardiansyah Sutisna, more famous with Rizky Febian, is an Indonesian pop singer. He was born in Cileunyi, Bandung on February 25, 1998, in a family who much loved the Sundanese art and culture. His father is Sule, a comedian and a well-known host in Indonesia. Rizky Febian began to come to the Indonesian music industry in 2012 by performing a duet with his father in a song Papa Telepon, a comedy pop song. Initially, most people assumed the presence of Rizky Febian only writing the name of his father, who has already famous. However, the assumption is removed by Rizky through his work and qualified performance. Well, listener, let us listen now the next song by Rizky Febian entitled Penantian Berharga. You are still tuned to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presenting the regular Music Corner featuring Rizky Febian. In addition to music, Rizky Febian is also quite active to be an actor and a host. Until now, he has played in 3 big screen films and 5 television series, as well as playing in the 5 television shows. His expertise in singing, acting, and guiding the show is not just handed down by Sule, the father. However, Rizky himself is always active to learn everything. His performance on stages or in a glass screen managed to amaze teenagers. For his talent and support from his fans, Rizky Febian has won numerous awards from several national private television stations in 2016. It shows that Rizky Febian has successfully proved his talent without taking his father's name. Listener, to conclude today's edition of Music Corner, we'll dedicate to you the last two songs by Rizky Febian, entitled Cukup Tahu and Sweet Talk. Enjoy the songs and see you in other editions of Music Corner. Bye for now.
Sungguh percuma saja ku mencintainya, tapi tak dicintai. Gerak tubuhnya seolah berkata tak cinta padaku dan tak suka padaku. Aku pun mulai berpikir ku sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup tahu dan dalam diri. Tak usah ku deketimu lagi, ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanah dalam diri, tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi, ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Gerak tubuhnya seolah berkata tak cinta padaku dan tak suka padaku. Aku pun mulai berpikir ku sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup tahu tanah dalam diri. Tak usah ku deketimu lagi, ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanah dalam diri, tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi, ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanam dalam diri. Tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Cukup tahu tanam dalam diri. Tak usah ku deketimu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanam dalam diri. Tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi, ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang.
Just down and hoping, know what I wanna hear from you. When the doubt pulls me under and I need to recover, know what I wanna hear from you. Say, baby, say to me the words that keep me going. Yeah, I know you know 'em.
You give me some of that, some of that sweet, sweet talk. Say it again, cause I need it. Sounding so good, know you mean it. Some of that sweet, sweet talk to me.
When my conscience breaking, and it's feeling efficient. Know what I wanna hear from you. When the clouds fill the sky up, know what I can rely on. Know what I wanna hear from you.
Say baby, say to me the words that keep me going. Yeah, I know you know it. Say baby, say to me the words that make me heal. I love the way they feel. You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. Say it again, cause I need it. Sounding so good, know you mean it. Some of that sweet, sweet talk to me.
Yeah. I'm feeling so stuck, gridlock. Give me some of that, sweet talk. I've been up all night getting so blue. But here comes you to the rescue. How did you do it? I'm a deadlock. Gotta figure it out, I'ma be like Sherlock. Wait, I don't need to know, you don't need to show. And just keep them words flow.
Oh, love, oh, love, that sweet talk.
Give me some of that.
Oh, love, oh, love, that sweet talk. No one can get enough of that sweet talk. Oh, love, oh, love, that sweet talk.
You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk.
Sweet,
you
sweet
give
talk.
Me some of that hey. Sweet, sweet talk.
Say it again, cause I need it. It
sounds so good, but you need it.
Some of that sweet, sweet talk.
Give it to me.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Hey, it's so good to be back. And there's something I want to say. Are you ready? Now, drop the beat, yo.
Kekasihku, jangan macam-macam padaku. Cukup satu macam saja kepadaku. Jangan terus kau bagi-bagi cintamu. Cukup sayangi aku. Kekasihku, jangan terus mengujiku. Aku mau kamu mendengarkan aku. Jangan terus kau memandangi temanku di depan mataku. Katakan
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.